Wednesday afternoon, time for our bi-monthly conversation with MIBiz senior writer Mark Sanchez. The flavored vaping products ban goes into effect today. You've been looking into this.
Yeah, we have a cover story this week on MIBiz. Basically, as the headline says, up in smoke, this ban instituted by executive order by Governor Whitmer is now in effect, went into effect just after midnight this morning for companies that are selling these e-liquid flavored electronic cigarettes. They're now prohibited from selling that. Now, of course, there's litigation with so many things where bans are imposed. It's going to get challenged in court. Right now, those two lawsuits, I believe, are pending. And as of today, that ban in Michigan, and Michigan's not the only one doing this, is in effect against these flavored electronic cigarettes.
What is the argument you're hearing from vaping store owners?
Well, they say, first, the governor's not following the proper process to impose this regulation, that it's a 180-day regulation until the legislature can work out a more permanent solution, and it could be extended for another 6 months. They're saying it's not been a proper process, and oh, by the way, adults have the right to buy what they want in this instance. Folks know what they're buying, let them buy it. It's a case that's going to get litigated and ultimately may take some legislative action to resolve.
But this is all about minors getting their hands on the different flavors. There's talk about the different ads that have been used to hook children on this. But we also have this pneumonia epidemic. There's a bit of a health issue that's also taking place.
There's some data that's been coming out this year about potential health effects, adverse health effects of e-cigarettes. And this particular ban that the governor instituted, this is against these flavored e-cigarettes, the chocolate, caramel, raspberry, and some of the other flavors that are on the market. The governor and the advocates for this ban say this is appealing to children, appealing to folks who are younger, and we shouldn't really be selling these types of products to teenagers and children. Again, everything's always open for debate. Nobody ever wants to put a product out there that harms a child, of course, but the argument against this is that it targeted at adults, and there needs to be a better process to institute these type of regulations.
But now that we have these electronic cigarettes out there, I don't know what regulations were or are in place, but you're always going to have the internet option out there. There's always going to be a black market for something. I almost feel as though the horse is out of the barn at this point.
You're right. There's always a market out there. There's always some kind of an access point. So how do you regulate it? Do you regulate it? That's the first question that needs to be asked. Clearly, Governor Whitmer has answered that question, that yes, this is something she feels the state needs to regulate and, in this case, put a prohibition in place. But that's one of the broader questions that legislators and lawmakers are going to have to grapple with. And just a little bit of data on how the use of e-cigarettes is growing among high school students. And this comes from the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. E-cigarette use among high school students increased to 27% nationally in 2019. That's up from 21% in 18 and 12% in 2017. So you're seeing significant increase in the use of this product, which, again, the governor and other folks believe are not good for teenagers in that age group. So they want to ban it.
And President Donald Trump has proposed a federal ban, and I believe the Attorney General's office will continue hearings on October 8th. So next Tuesday, the Attorney General's office will continue those hearings. You're also looking at Michigan as a destination state for tourism and how recreation is becoming an industry.
Like so many areas throughout the economy, there's a demographic shift occurring, and that's changing how folks recreate, for lack of a better term. And just, again, a little bit of data. Hunting and fishing licenses declined 3% from 2017 to 2018 in Michigan, and that's continuing a downward trend that's gone on for the last 5 years. And the state issued hunting and fishing licenses for about 55,000 fewer people last year than it did in 2014. That equates to about $2 million less revenue for the state from those licenses. So the question is, what is recreation, and how can the state kind of encourage that industry? Obviously, hunting and fishing are large and crucial components to the outdoor recreation industry in the state. But the governor is looking at the potential to showcase other activities. One thing that comes to mind is the kayak company that set up in Muskegon a year or two ago. And that's becoming a popular form of recreation. The sale of outdoor gear. What the group is really talking about is encouraging folks to think broader in terms of what is recreation, and for this demographic change, how do you shift this industry to meet that demographic change? And again, here's a little bit of data. The Bureau of Economic Analysis by the federal government had a report out last month. It was a state-by-state economic impact report on outdoor recreation industries, and it showed about 2% of Michigan's gross domestic product, 2.8% of total employment, is tied to outdoor recreation, and that's an industry that produces about $4.8 billion in wages and salaries and represents about 127,000 jobs. There's some heft to that industry, and the demographics are shifting, and how does everything else have to shift to meet that demographic demand?
Speaking of industries that are on the rise, we've seen the virtual visits and telemedicine, being able to talk with your doctor instead of making the drive into the office. We're seeing teletherapy services now with Spectrum Health and Pine Rest.
Yeah, telehealth, telemedicine is something that's been growing the last few years. Basically, this is a way to connect with a doctor through Skype, through video visit, through other technology on your smartphone, on your laptop computer, on your tablet. And now Spectrum Health and Pine Rest Christian Mental Health Services have launched a teletherapy service, and it really widens the access to behavioral health care in the States. It uses Spectrum Health's MedNow app. It's a mobile app, and for folks who have anxiety, depression, they're going through grief, stress, or just a period of sadness, they can get on there and they can get some assistance from either a provider from Spectrum Health or Pine Rest within 24 hours. They do have to initially connect with this teletherapy service. I'll give you the phone number real quick, 844-322-7374. And that's to initially access the teletherapy service. But it's just one more way that care providers are using the technology of today to kind of extend how they provide care to people, how they connect with patients. And this is at a time when both in the primary care medical side, there's quite a shortage of physicians out there. You have to wait sometimes quite a bit of time for an appointment to a doctor. And for the mental health area, there's a significant shortage of providers and folks who are working in that industry. Here's one more way, again, that Spectrum Health and Pine Rest are working together and collaborating to try to address that issue and try to better connect with people who need a little bit of attention.
MIBiz senior writer Mark Sanchez, thank you so much.
Thank you.